Have you ever received an invitation that changed you? Whether it was to the prom or maybe a wedding, or rather an invitation to walk with someone on a particular journey. Well, I'm going to go ahead and answer for you. The answer is yes. As the narrative lectionary continues to progress through the year, we now find ourselves in the Gospel of John. And we will spend the next few months walking through this fourth gospel as we go through the life of Jesus toward Easter. Today, we are still in the first chapter, which has been dedicated in part to the gospel writer's version of the creation and birth narrative. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You may remember that from our worship service on the morning of Christmas Eve. And then that's followed by the story of John the Baptist in the wilderness crying out and telling people about the Messiah who is coming. And we missed that reading last week because we did our service of lessons and carols. But then, which it follows right away, our reading this morning begins with John, not the gospel writer, but rather John, the cousin of Jesus, exclaiming, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." Well, that seems to me to be the kind of statement that would draw some attention. And it does draw the attention of two, at least. And these two follow Jesus. And I kind of see them like, you know, Jesus walking down the road and these two guys kind of following him along. Because Jesus turns and asks them, "What are you looking for?" And their response is a little bit odd. They don't ask him who he is or if he's really special, like John the Baptist says. They don't say, "Hey, we're really curious about you," or "We're captivated by you." No, none of those things. Their response is, "Teacher, where are you staying?" And it ends up sounding to my ear like they're looking for a room for the night and they want to know if the place where Jesus is staying has some vacancy. But I learned this week that the word that we hear in the reading as staying, in the original language, it would be much better translated as abiding. Which changes the question. Where are you abiding? Well, suddenly, it doesn't really sound like they're looking for a room, but rather asking a deeper question. Where do you abide? Where are you dwelling? That is a much bigger question. And we'll see here the beginning of what will be, get used to them, a long line of non-answers from Jesus in this gospel. Because his answer isn't really an answer. Jesus replies to them, "Come and see." Remember that. And the two continue to follow Jesus for that day, for a day. And one of them, Andrew, ends up going to tell his brother after this short day that they have found the Messiah. Well, the brother, named Simon, goes to meet Jesus as well. And Jesus promptly changes his name to Cephas, whom we know as Peter, Simon Peter. As I've studied this text this week and thought about it from a few different angles, I found myself coming back to this "come and see" again and again. There is something so deeply and powerfully and kindly invitational about it. Jesus doesn't insist on them following. He doesn't give them a black and white answer or spell out a doctrine. He invites them on the journey. Come and see. And in less than a day, they are deeply affected. Andrew sought out his brother to tell him they'd found the Messiah. And that's not like, you know, sharing something on Facebook that made him feel warm and fuzzy. I mean, he went to find his brother because he was so moved by Jesus. And so through this invitation, these men became different. Well, the next part of our passage, Jesus travels to Galilee and invites another named Philip to follow him. And as happened earlier, the man who follows is then compelled to invite another. So Philip ends up inviting Nathanael. And I like this. Nathanael harbors a good dose of skepticism. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip follows Jesus' lead and replies simply, again, non-answer answers, come and see. I think that perhaps Nathanael's skepticism is a mirror of our own. How many times have we ourselves wondered if anything good could come from that person or from that place or that kind of group? Sometimes we might even feel like that could be true of ourselves or of our church, maybe. That we don't have enough influence, that we're too small with too few people, that we have too much else to worry about. I have a hunch that if I brought up a big piece of paper and wrote at the top, can anything good come out of blank, that we would come up with a host of answers, right? We would fill in that blank in a million different ways. But no matter how long a list, how wide and varied our skepticism might be, the response remains the same. Jesus's words that Philip then employs as well. Can anything good come out of? Come and see. Again, it's so incredibly non-confrontational. It's only the extension of a wide open invitation. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Or Baden or Phillipsburg or me or you? Come and see. And again, the result is a profound change in the man. And this time it doesn't even take a day. After a short discussion with Jesus, Nathanael isn't only convinced that something good indeed has come out of Nazareth, but that Jesus is surely the Son of God. And likewise, I believe that with the willingness to follow and watch and listen, that we too discover that good things are not only all around us, but coming out of the places we least expect them. So then I have to ask myself and you, how open are we to the invitation to come and see? Do we tend to enter situations filled with preconceived notions and expectations? Do we already know the answer to the questions? Or do we arrive open to the possibilities of what may come? Are we open to meeting the Son of God? In the first part of our reading, it's Jesus who speaks the words of invitation. Where are you staying? Where do you abide? And Jesus says, come and see. As is always and evermore the case, Jesus invites us into relationship. I told you that you have received an invitation. that has changed you. And then in the second part of the reading, it is Philip who speaks the words, which then leads me to ask another question or series of questions. Do we extend this invitation to others? Do we live lives that make others want to know in whom we abide? Do we share the light of Christ with others so well that someone might be compelled to ask from where this light comes? Are we so moved and impressed by Jesus that we invite others to meet him? Basically, do we live in such a way that people might ask us a question to which we might answer, come and see? Well, we find ourselves at the beginning of John's gospel story of the Son of God. And at the same time, we're at the beginning of a new year, when people tend to set goals and aspirations for themselves. So might we be willing to try to be more open to the voice of God, inviting us to come and see this year? Might we be willing to try just a bit harder to live in such a way that we lead others to Christ? After all, Jesus' ministry has continued for 2 millennia because of faithful followers who invited new people into the story. People who have continued to say, come and see. This congregation has 175 years of bringing new people in. Come and see. So can we together strive to be always improving at these things? And perhaps the best thing for us to do is simply to pray. Jesus, help us. Will you help us? To which Jesus may very well respond, come and see. Amen.